Sadi Vav Amidalev, Sadi Vav Amidalev. Everyone have it? I have photocopies if you do not have it. It looks like everyone has it. Sadi Vav Amidalev, we are at Bai Rami Bar Chama. I'll tell you what the plan is for today. The last words on the line are Bai Rami. Last word on the line is Rami, about halfway through the skinny lines. If you have a Gemara with normal typeset, yeah? Bai Rami, everyone see it. Sadi Vav Amidalev, 96A. Last word on the line is Rami, halfway through the skinny lines. The goal is going to be to get from there till Bai Rami Bar Chama again on the very bottom line of the page. So that's going to be the goal, to go through from Bai Rami Bar Chama on the midway through the skinny lines to Bai Rami Bar Chama on the bottom. Good, everyone has it. So far, we pretty much only discussed two halachos in this whole limud. We discussed the halacha that when someone borrows something and something happens to the thing that he borrowed, when I borrow your car and it gets smashed up, and let's say there's no insurance, take insurance out of the picture, who's responsible to pay for it? The borrower, obviously. Well, wait, what if it wasn't my fault? It wasn't my fault. Something crazy happened, an onus happened. Who's responsible to pay for it? Still, the borrower. A shoel is chayiv in onsim, right? That's one thing we learned. Why is a shoel chayiv in onsim? He's chayiv even for things that are totally not his fault.
He's the least like pressure on
it. Good, because the shoel gets all the benefit. He doesn't pay anything for it. He just gets all the pleasure, all the hana from it. It's not like a renter where you're actually paying for something. You're leasing, you're paying for it. No, you're not even paying. Someone just lent it to you. So you're chayiv even in onsim. That's one halacha that we learned. That a shoel is chayiv in everything, even in onsim. We're going to ask a series of four questions about that halacha. Then we're going to ask a series of questions about a second halacha that we learned. And the second halacha that we learned is that there's one exception to the rule that when a borrower, when something happens to the thing that you borrow, that you're chayiv. There's one exception to the rule. There's one way that you can be potter. What's that? Bal of imo. That if together with the item that you're borrowing, you borrow the owner of the item. So I don't only borrow Yisrael's car, I borrow Yisrael along with it. I ask him to, I don't know, do an oil change on the car. Would you even, you don't even know the cars need oil changes. You don't even know they need gas. Okay, so I ask him to, you know, to I borrow him along with the car itself. Good, and then if anything happens, I'm potter. So we discussed that a lot also. So now we're just going to ask a series of questions. This Gemara happens to be somewhat easier than the Gemaras we've been doing up until this point. So you could breathe a little bit easy. Bai Rami Bar Chama. So Rami Bar Chama asked the following question. Sha'ala l'rava. Let's say you borrow the animal, but not. Why would you borrow a cow normally? What would you borrow a cow for?
Plowing.
You want to milk it, you want to plow with it, you want to have it work for you. No, this guy borrows a cow because he wants to engage in, how do I say this in a clean way? There's no way to say it. Bestiality with the cow. He's a very interesting fellow, and he decides that that's what he wants to do with the cow. So that is not a normal thing to borrow the cow for. When someone says, hey, can I borrow your cow? You're probably not thinking, oh, I know what he wants to do with it. So Mahu, what's the din? Does the din of a shol being chayv and him apply when that's why he borrows it? So why wouldn't it apply? He's a borrower. So says Gemara, here's why. Kiddushayli in Shiba Inan. Maybe in order for a shoal to be chayiv, it has to be Kiddushayli Inshi. What does Kiddushayli Inshi mean? Something that people normally borrow the thing for. It's normal to borrow a cow to work. It's normal to borrow a cow to milk. It's normal to borrow a cow for all these other things, but not for that. So maybe it doesn't fit the rules of a borrower. For this, people don't borrow cow. Oh, Dilma, or maybe, time am I, why is it that a borrower is chayiv no matter what happens? Mishum hana'a. Because the borrower gets
pleasure.
Vahainami, and this sick, demented person, ha'islay hana'a. As hard as it is to understand, but what's he getting?
Enough.
He's getting on us, so maybe he too should be chayiv. So that's shaila number one. Again, we're going to ask a series of four shailas about a borrower being pater and onsim. So shaila number one, again, well, shaila number one, what if a person borrows a cow in order to do bestiality, revia? Do we say that he's chayiv because he's getting hana from it, or do we say no? That's the rule of a borrower only applies to normal borrowers. This is a very abnormal borrowing. Shaila number two, what are you looking for? Shaila number two. Sha'ala li ra'usba. What if he borrows it not to use it, but because he wants to be seen with it? You know, they're like these very high-end car rental places where you can rent super fancy cars if you need to impress a client or something. You can't afford a Ferrari, but you could afford to rent it for a day so that you can impress someone. Now, you don't want to drive it. You don't want to do it. You just want to be seen with it. So what if you borrow the cow because you want to, take pictures with the... You want a selfie with the cow. It's on your scavenger hunt that you need a selfie with a cow. So you borrow a cow for that reason, just to be seen with it. So mahu, what's the din in that case? Do we assume that a borrower is still pater? Mamona bi'inan va'ika? Do we assume that you just have to borrow something that has value? And the Ferrari has value, whether you use it or not. So therefore, you're going to be chayiv. O dilma... Or maybe in order to be chayiv and onsim, a borrower has to have some direct pleasure from the item, some benefit from the item. And he's not getting any benefit, any tangible benefit from the item. The idea of being seen with it, that's like a very 21st century kind of thing, right? That's not something that's considered a tangible benefit. So that is question number two. So question number one was, you borrow a cow in order to commit bestiality with it. Question number two is, you borrow a cow in order to be seen with it. Question number three, sha'ala la'asos ba pachos mipruta mahu. What if you borrow it, but not to do a significant amount of malacha, to do less than a pruta's worth of malacha with it? I just thought you wanted yoga, but I have kabbalas. So sha'ala la'asos ba pachos mipruta mahu. You borrow it just to do less than a pruta's worth of malacha. How much is a pruta worth?
One eighth of Isseri Talki.
How much is that? Like in today's terms, what do you think? Yeah, meaning it's a very small amount of money. So I don't even know how you would borrow something to do work that's worth less than a pruta, but a pruta is considered like money. Less than a pruta is considered like it's not even money. So you borrow the cow to do less than a pruta's worth of work with. Mamona bi'inan vi'ika. Do you need it to be actual money? And this is money because, meaning, not actual money. You need to borrow something that has value, and the cow has value. Whether you use it to do valuable work or not valuable work, but the cow has value, and therefore it's a regular din of a shoel. Or maybe we say, no, if it's less than a pruta, that is nothing. That's like you didn't borrow anything. And therefore, it doesn't count. The shoel would not be chayiv and onsim. Last question about the rule of a shoel being chayiv even when an onus comes up. Shoel shtei paros, you borrow two cows or bulls, lasos behen pruta. Together, the two of them are worth a lot more than pruta, are going to do work that's worth a pruta for you. So each one is doing work that's worth less than a pruta. Yeah, yeah, the Gemara has like this in Kiddushin also. What? It could be a pruta and a half together. The point is that each one is less than a pruta, but together, meaning you are borrowing for a pruta's worth of work, but you're borrowing two separate items, and each one is less than a pruta's worth of work. So, mi amrinan zil basar shawelu mashil. Do we say, well, you just look at the two people involved, and the two people involved, one of them is lending items for a pruta's worth of work, the other one's borrowing items for a pruta's worth of work, vi'ika, and therefore it's a regular borrower and lender. Oh, Dilmore, maybe no. Zil basar paros. You look at each item that's being borrowed. And in this case, each item that's being borrowed is doing what? Less than a pruta. The kolchada v'chada leka mamona. Each one is doing less than a pruta worth of work. Ah, very good. So normally when the Gemara would ask something like this, it would say, Ve'im timtzalomar. And if you're going to say it has to be a pruta, it seems to be assuming that. It seems to be assuming that that has to be the case, even though the Gemara doesn't say so explicitly. Rashi says it. Rashi points out that that has to be assuming the answer to the previous question. Is that borrowing is only significant when it's a pruta. Good, so those are our four questions. Let's make a main point about that. Four questions about the fact that a shoel is chayv and onsin. So just bullet point them. Question number one was, if he borrows for bestiality. Question number two was, he borrows to be seen. Good. Question number three was? Less than a pruta. On it, man. Question number four?
equal the pruta.
Two cows that equal the pruta, right? That whose work equals the pruta.
What's the first one?
Yeah. He borrows. Oh, you weren't here for that. He borrows a cow for bestiality to commit bestiality to sleep with the cow. Not a normal thing to use a cow for. It strikes me as extremely dangerous too, because probably the cow doesn't enjoy it. Well, I would imagine, yes, that the amount of diseases would be overwhelming as well. It's risky behavior, to say the least. Okay. So then the Gemara asks another series of shaylas. Now we're going to ask shaylas about not the fact that a borrower is always chayiv, but the fact that a borrower, when you borrow the owner with the cow, you're patur if something happens to it. The din of baila vimo. So we're going to ask a number of questions about that. So number one, sha'al mishutafin. Let's say you borrow from partners. So you don't borrow from one person, you borrow from two people. What do you think the Gemara's question is going to be? And you only borrow one of the owners. So you didn't borrow all of the owners of the, right? So you borrow... Yeah, a new set of questions, but this set of questions is on a separate halacha. It's on the halacha that when you borrow the owner together with the item, then you're going to be patur. So what if you didn't borrow all of the ownership? You know, like when people buy a baseball team, so there's a whole, they call it an ownership group. Why do they call it an ownership group? Because there's no single person that's rich enough to buy, I mean, there are, but, you know, they usually don't. People don't do that. They get together a group of people. This one invests $50 million, that one invests $100 million, and they become a group of owners. So yet you borrow something from an ownership group. V'nishalo echad mehen. And you borrow one of the owners with it. Mahu. Do you have that exemption called bailavimo? Are you now going to be pater because you borrowed the owner? And what are the two sides to the question? Kulo ba'alav bi'inan, the haleka. Do you need to have all of the owners in order to have this exemption? And you don't have all of the owners. O dilma, me'ahu palga didei mihamiftar. Or maybe at least you should be pater on half, at least on his portion of the ownership. So let's say I borrow a cow, and a 20% owner of that cow comes along with it, and then the cow dies, right? Or something horrible happens to the cow. So maybe I should at least be 20% pater, because at least on 20% of it I had by Levimo. So that's shaila number one. Shaila number two, shutvin shashalu. That's what does that mean? Good. Two partners in the business borrow something. So you're running your baseball team, and the baseball team needs to borrow a pitching machine for practice or something, right? When they're on the road or something like that. The guy, the coach that does the soft, was sick that day. They need a pitching machine. So they borrow a pitching machine from whatever, right? So these two partners borrow together. V'nishala echad mehen. And the owner of the pitching machine only comes to work for one of the owners. So mahu, when the two partners borrowed the item, if the owner of the item only came to work for one of the owners, do they both have the patur of balavima? Kulo shoel bi'inan v'leka. Do you need the entire shoel to have the owner with it, the entire borrower, to have, all of the borrowers to have the owner with it, and you don't have that over here? O dilma bayi palga d'shayli miyas miftar. Or maybe at least the guy that does have the balavima should be put from his half. So if two partners borrow something together, and you have Reuven and Shimon both borrow an item, and the owner comes to work for Reuven, so when the thing breaks, at least Reuven should be pater. Maybe Reuven should be pater, even if Shimon's not going to be pater. Shaila number three. Sha'al meha'isha. What's an isha? Ah, okay, so you did your homework in the coming here in Simchas Torah, so you know what an isha is. Sha'al meha'isha. Someone borrows from an isha. Otherwise you wouldn't have known, right? So it's important. So someone borrows from an isha. Vinishal ba'ala. And you borrow, and the woman's husband, the woman owns the item. You're borrowing a thing from the woman, but her husband comes to work for you. Is that called balavima? So ish, or, now flip it around, isha shasha'ala. A woman does the borrowing, and what's the question going to be? And the owner of that item comes to work for her husband. Vinishal Labal. the owner comes to work for the husband. Mahu, what's the din? Now, what do you mean, what's the din? Why would there be, why would that be called balavimo? The woman and the husband, these are two separate people. Ah, so says Gemara, kinyan peros, kinyan aguftami olo. This issue, and this is a very important concept, so like underline this, circle this. Kinyan peros, kinyan aguftami olo. When you only own the peros of something, the fruits of something, that which gets produced by something, is that like you own the item itself also? Meaning, let's say, I don't own a tree, but I own the rights to all the fruits that tree is going to produce. So I can't chop it down and use the wood or whatever, but any fruits that's going to produce. I don't own a company, but I own everything that company is going to produce. So is that called that I own it? Is that kikinyan aguf? Is that like I own the thing? Why is that important over here? Because when a woman owns things and she goes into a marriage, so she still owns it, but her husband is entitled to the payrolls. He's entitled to whatever gets produced from it. So do we assume that the husband becomes the owner? So that's the shilas. So those are shilas number 3 and 4. So let's review again. We had 4 shilas about the din of balavimo. Shaila number 1 about the din of balavimo is if you borrow from two people, from partners, and you only get one of them to work for you. Shaila number 2 was? Right, two partners borrow, but the owner only works for one of them. Good. Shaila number 3 was you borrow from a woman and the husband comes to work for you. Shaila number 4 is the reverse. A woman does the borrowing, right? A woman borrows, and you work for her husband. And the owner works for her husband. Yeah. Number 3 was, you borrow from a woman, something from a woman, but her husband comes to work for you, not her. Is that called by Levimo? And number 4 was, a woman borrows something, and the owner comes to work for her husband instead of working for her. Is that called by Levimo? And those last two shilas are really dependent on kinyan peros, kinyan aguf, dami olo. Do we consider the husband to be the owner of the woman's stuff? Right? So says the Gemara. On that issue, actually, one more suffix. Amar le Ravina le Ravashi. Ravina asked Ravashi the following. Ha'omer le shlucho. Guy says to his shliach, Tsei v'hashel li imparasi. The Bailim lends out his para, but he himself doesn't go to do the work. He sends a shliach to work with the para, right? Meaning, I, the owner, am not going to do it, but I'm going to staff it for you. Meaning, you don't know how to operate this machine. I'm lending you this machine. You don't know how to operate it, so you want me to come work for you? Don't worry, I have a staff for that. I'm going to send a guy, and he'll come to work for you. Since he's my shliach, does that count as what? As him. And therefore, that would be a din of Bailavima. So, Mahu, what's the din? Bailav Mamish Baina? Do you need what? The actual literal Bailim, the Lekka, in which case you don't have that. Al Dilma, or maybe we could say, very important concept, Shlucho Shel Adam Kamoso. What's the concept of Shlucho Shel Adam Kamoso?
The shliach's like you.
Good. The shliach is just like you. Vi'ika. And that you have over here. So that's our 5th suffix about Bailavimo. Amar le Rav Acha Bered Rav Avi le Rav Ashi. Bal Plukt de Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rav Acha Bered Rav Avi said to Rav Ashi, who is the one who has the machlokas with Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, and we'll see what that means later. Shaliach plukta de Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yoshia. This last shayla, I can answer for you, whether the shliach counts as the guy, machlokas. Right? True, false, machlokas? Answer is machlokas. It's always correct. Right? Answer is machlokas. Says it's machlokas between Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yoshia, whether the shliach counts as by Levimo or not. So says the Gemara. Rav Acha explains what he meant by this odd comment that he had of Baal Plukta de Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. What's that about? So I said it wrong. Not Baal Plukta. It's Baal. The issue about the husband is Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Shaliach plukta Rabbi Yonatan Rabbi Yoshia. So let me read that again. So I'm going to Rav Acha Bered Rav Avi Rav Ashi. Rav Acha Bered Rav Avi says Rav Ashi. I could answer a number of these shilas for you. Baal, your shilas is about the husband and whether the husband is considered the real owner. Plukta Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. That's machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Shaliach, your question about a shaliach and whether what? Good. Well, the shliach counts as the owner himself. Plukta Rabbi Yonos and Rabbi Yoshia. That's a machlok between Rabbi Yonos and Rabbi Yoshia. So now he explains. Baal plukta Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Where do we find that the husband is the status of the husband is machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish de Itmar? Because it says in a totally different context when it talks about the mitzvah of Bikurim. Anyone familiar with what the mitzvah of Bikurim is? The first fruits. Which fruits? Apples, oranges. Grapes,
Shiva Samin,
the seven minim, the seven fruits that the land of Israel is praised with. When they first grow, you make a whole parade, put them in special baskets, and they make a whole parade to bring them to Yerushalayim, and they bring them next to the Mizbeach, and they recite this whole special parsha. Okay, the Itmar. It was stated as follows: Hamocher Sadeu L'Chaver L'Peros. Let's say I sell my field to you, but not the full ownership of the field. I sell you the rights to the fruits in my field. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, mevi v'korei. You now can bring Bikurim and get to read the special parsha called Mikra Bikurim, meaning you act like it's yours. It's mamish, your field, your fruits, as far as Bikurim is concerned. Reish Lakish Omer, mevi, you do have to bring Bikurim, Reish Lakish says, but ve'eino korei. You do not do what? Read the special parsha of Bikurim. What? Why? So what's the machlokas? Rabbi Yochanan, maybe the Korei. Rabbi Yochanan says, you bring the fruits and you read the parsha. You know why? You are the owner. Kinyan peros, kinyan aguftami. If you own the fruits of the field, that's the same as
owning the field.
Ooh, what does it have to do with the husband? Ah, because the husband owns the payrolls of his wife's properties. So good. So he is the owner. He becomes the owner. Reish Lakish Amar Mevi Veinokar. Reish Lakish says, no. You could bring the Bikurim, but you do not read the Parsha Bikurim. You know why? Kinyan payrolls? Lav kikinyan aguf dami. Owning the payrolls is not owning the real thing. And therefore, the husband also, who owns the payrolls of his wife's property, does not own his wife's property. He is not the owner. So that's how the issue of husband is a machlokas. Shaliach plukta Rabbi Yonatan Rabbi Yoshia. The issue of a shaliach is a machlokas between Rabbi Yonatan and Rabbi Yoshia. Where do we see that? Titania, we have a brisa at Maseches Nedarim. Ha'omer la'apotropos. You know what an apotropos is?
He's dual, like both sets of genitalia.
No, that's an androgynous.
Androgynous, both.
It's at least it's a similar sounding word. So if it would have been a non-similar sounding word, then that would be like totally weird. But it's a similar sounding word, so we'll let you get away with that. Someone says to an apotropos. An apotropos, you should circle it. It's an important concept. Apotropos is like someone who's like a caretaker. Like if let's say a couple is on an airplane, they get into a plane crash and they die, and they leave young children with millions of dollars, and these young children, they don't know what to do with millions of dollars. So a guardian, right? You have someone who's in charge just to make sure they don't get taken advantage of, to make sure that their stuff is invested properly, you know, that kind of thing, right? So that's the role of an apotropos. So a guy says to an apotropos, kol nedarim shetei ishti. So sometimes people have an apotropos even if it's not children. Like, I just don't have the time or the energy to deal with, you know, I'm a busy rabbi, so the fact that I happen to be a billionaire and I have all these all of these properties and whatever, I don't have time to manage all that stuff, so I hire a guy. He's my guy that takes care of things. Like, you know, rich people have people who do, you know, the very very wealthy people tend to have, they hire someone just to deal with their charities, you know, like his full-time job is just to deal with figuring out all my charities and figuring out, you know, run my foundation or whatever, right? So he has an apotropos who just runs his stuff for him. You know, these are the kinds of problems we have. So a guy says to his apotropos, kol nedarim shetei ishti no deres mikano achava mimakom ploni. any neder my wife decides to take between now and when I return from my trip, I'm going to China or whatever, between now and when I come back, any neder she takes, haferla, I want you to obliterate the neder, to make it go away, to be made for the neder. It's a halachic thing that a husband has the right to do. Vehefirla, and the apotropos does it, yachal mufarin, you might think that it works, that even though the husband is the only one that's authorized to be mefir his wife's neder, to undo his wife's neder, but he made the apotropos do it, so that's good enough. You might think that's good enough. Talmud Lomar, that's why we have a pasuk that says, no, you cannot do that. Isha yikimenu v'isha yifirenu. Why did I pronounce the hey in the word isha? Because if you don't pronounce the hey, it means a woman. If you say with the mapike, it's what? Her husband, right? Isha, her husband. Ha'ish shelah, her husband can make the neder stick or can make the neder go away. Divrei Rabbi Yoshia, that's Rabbi Yoshia. So what do you see Rabbi Yoshia holds? A guy makes a shaliach to get rid of his wife's neder and he can't do it. The shaliach can't do it. Why? Because your shaliach is not you. Rabbi Yonasan Omer Matsina B'Kalmakum Shluch Shalom Kamosa. Rabbi Yonah says, I don't see what the problem is. Everywhere, we always say, Shlucha shel Adam kamaso. Your shliach is like you. So there should be no problem with this. Why is that the machlokas that we had before? Right. I mean, the shaila was, the owner of the item says, I'm not going to come work with you, but I'll send my guy. I'll send.
It sounds like they both will agree in most cases. He's like the first person to just bring an example why it wouldn't work in this specific case.
Yeah, so that's a very good question. Meaning it sounds like that everyone would agree in normal cases, Shluchos Shalom Kamoso, it's just by Nedarim you have a special Gzeres HaKasov, that only the Baal can be made for the Neder, and that nobody else can be made for the Neder. That is true. So how do we say? Yeah, it's a good question. Someone must ask it. Someone does ask it. Tosos. Yeah. Okay. So we got to learn Tosos. But I mean, that's the bottom Tosos here. Shliach Rabbi Yonasan Rabbi Yoshia. So what did we just do here? Let's review. Let's pause over here to review what we just did. We raised how many different questions about the din of Baal Avimo?
Four. We had four on Baal Avimo and then four before.
Right. Four before and then four on Baal Avimo. But I think it turned out to be five on Baal Avimo if you count the husband question as two questions. Right? The last question was about Shliach. How many of the questions did we resolve about Baal Avimo?
Only the bottom.
Three, I guess, right? The ones about the husband
and
the ones about the Shliach. And what was the story with the husband? Is the husband the owner?
Machlokas.
Depends on what issue.
It depends on whether the fruits go there.
Good. Kinyan peros, kinyan gov. His ownership of the fruits, the same thing as ownership of the thing, the item itself. And what was the issue about the shliach about? What was that that machlokas about?
Whether you could do it.
Whether the husband's shliach can do afaras nedarim, is able to be mefir a neder. I wanted to get a little bit further. Let's just get to the bottom of the page, and we'll start with chazara tomorrow, I guess. So amalei Rav Ilish l'Rava, Rav Ilish says to Rava, Homer la'avdo, sevi hi sha'el imparasi. Someone says to his eved, do me a favor, go with my para. You know, I lent out my para to somebody, and I said I would provide staffing, but I don't have time to do it. You go do it. Mahu, what's the din? Meaning this is the exact Shaila we had before, right? I'm sending my, but this time it's not a shaliach, it's not an apotropos, it's an eved. I'm sending an eved to work with the para. What's the din? So tibay lemandi amar shluch shalom kamoso, and tibay lemandi amar shluch shalom eino kamoso. This is a shaila regardless of what you hold about the status of a shliach. Meaning whether you hold that a shliach is like the owner, or whether you hold the shliach is not like the owner, an eved might be different than a shliach. Why would an eved be different than a shliach?
Because an
Eved
is
like
the Baal.
Let's do one at a time over here. Flute, yeah. Meaning, what luxury does a Shliach have that an Eved does not have? The Shliach could say, no thanks, I don't like working with cows. I'm going to go somewhere where I can work on a computer, right? But the Eved, like, you know, you're an Eved, like, that's part of the deal, right? When you're an Eved. So let's see. So to buy the man yamar shluch shalom kamoso. This is a shaila. Well, if you hold shluch shalom kamoso, because maybe hani mili shliach de bar mitzvah. Maybe only your shliach is like you, because your shliach is a regular Jew, so he's chayiv in mitzvahs just like you are. Aval eved de lav bar mitzvah doesn't mean he's under 13. An eved who's not a bar mitzvah, what does it mean? He's a guy. What kind of eved is that? What do we call it? An Eved Kanani, right? He's a guy. He's not chayiv in mitzvos. So look, maybe he does not get to be your shliach, and he doesn't get to be like you. He doesn't get to become your proxy. Odilma, or maybe, afilu man yomer ein shluch shalom kamoso. Even if you hold your shliach is not like you, hani mili shliach. Maybe that's only your shliach is not like you. Aval eved yad eved kiyad rabu damya. But maybe an eved is exactly like you. He becomes you because he has no choice of his own. He's got to do whatever you want him to do. So he is an extension of you. So what's the answer? So says Amalei, mistavra yad eved kiyad rabu damya. It's most logical to assume yad eved ki yad rabu. What does that mean?
The eved is like his master.
The eved's hand is like the master's hand. Like, so last main point over here. That when your eved goes to work with something that you lend out, that is considered by Levima. That is considered by Levima because he's better than a shliach. He's even more than a shliach. When your eved goes to work with something that you lent out, that is by Levima. It's like having the owner with him because he's much more the owner than a shliach. He's not just an employee. He's an eved. He's really an extension of the master.
So that's because he can't say no.
Right, he can't say. I think that's because he can't say no. I assume that's what the Rishonim say. Now it's interesting. Then that's more than that is by Levima. So it's more than a shliach. It's interesting. The Gemara said an eved is not a bar mitzvah. What does that mean? It's not a bar mitzvah. Did the bell already ring? It didn't ring yet. He's not a bar mitzvah. What does it mean? He's not chayiv du mitzvah. Is that true? Eved is not an eved ivri. Let's say. So we're not talking about an eved ivri, but an eved ivri is an eved ivri chayiv mitzvahs. Absolutely, he's a Jew, right? Eved Kanani, is an Eved Kanani chayiv in mitzvahs? More than seven. Every guy is chayiv in seven mitzvahs. He's chayiv in mitzvahs ki isha, exactly. He's chayiv in all the mitzvahs that a woman is chayiv
in. Brochos, when they talk about like Berachas Hamazon and all that stuff, they add Eved in.
Right, so would you say about a woman that she's not shaykh to mitzvahs? You would never say that. What? Because there are six mitzvahs Eishas Man Grama that she doesn't have to do, that men have to do. There are literally only like six. I remember Sololovsky said he once asked his shir in YU, like, how many mitzvahs Eishas Man Grama do you think there are that women are apart from that men have to do? And people were guessing numbers like 740. He's like, okay, let's start with this. There are only 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. It's got to be a number that's less than that. Like, there are only 248 mitzvahs Eishas. So it's got to be a number that turns out that it's like six. I think according to some Rishonim, it's seven or eight. But there are very few. There are more exceptions to the rule than there are the rule. So why is it that we call an Eved a lav bar mitzvah? It's very interesting. Now that we say that an Eved is not chayiv in mitzvah. He is. He's chayiv in a whole bunch of mitzvahs. All the 365 los assays. Pretty much every assay that a woman is chayiv in. The difference between Eved and Isha is that an Isha is a Jew. An Eved is not a Jew. Meaning he doesn't have Kedushas Yisrael. He may be chayv in the same mitzvahs, but it's not a reflection of Kedusha. What? No, if his mother's Jewish, then he's a Jew. Either a Jew or you're not a Jew. That's the way the religion works.
No, I know.
Yeah, so if his mother's a Jew, then he's, he cannot be an Ebkani. Okay, so we're going to stop there. Tomorrow we're going to pick up, we'll start with Chazara on that. Not so hard, I don't think, to do Chazaran, and then we'll move on to Sadi Vavan Bey.